That is Sunday. This hadith is mentioned in Bukhari and Muslim. So we are fortunate compared to the other religions and the other people that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala granted us the day of Jumu'ah, which we say the best day of the week. With regards to Friday being the best day of the week, we should not stop it there, only performing salah on the day of Jumu'ah, sending durood and salutations upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam on the day of Jumu'ah, making the dhikr of Allah on the day of Jumu'ah, and all the other good actions. We should continue reciting Quran, performing salah during the other days of the week. Likewise, how Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has granted this ummah again, the day of, or the month of Ramadan, which is better in virtue compared to the other months of the year. Like the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah has great merit and virtue compared to the other 10 days of the month or other days in the different months. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has granted us this day, and we need to utilize this day in the correct manner. We will make mention with regards to ahadith how we should commence the day of Jumu'ah and how we should end the day of Jumu'ah, and it does not stop there. We continue the good actions till the next week or the next Friday. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned the best day on which the sun has risen is Friday. On it Allah created Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. On it he was made to enter paradise, and on it he was expelled from it. And the last hour will take place on no other day than the day of Friday. That is mentioned in Tirmidhi Sharif. Another hadith when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned with regards to the day of Jumu'ah, the day of Friday, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, of all the days, Friday is the most virtuous. Like we had mentioned now, the reasons why, there's some merit with regards to this, which we will mention with regards to it, and then we need to put into practice those actions that we should do on the day of Jumu'ah. Then we come to the next aspect with regards to when does the day of Jumu'ah commence. We know regarding the Islamic days, when does it start in the Gregorian day. The Islamic day starts at the time of Maghrib. So last night at the time of Maghrib, the day of Jumu'ah had commenced. And the Gregorian day starts at 12 o'clock midnight. That's their day, and that's how they commence their day. So what should we do when the night of Jumu'ah commences? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned that whosoever recites 100 durood, that is any durood after the Maghrib Salah on Thursday, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will fulfill 30 of his or her needs in this world and 70 in the Akhirah. So we need to make effort to recite it between the Maghrib and Isha Salah to gain this great benefit. So when we leave from the masjid or we're reading our Salah at home for the females, then we have enough time to recite the Durood Sharif, whichever Durood we know, and even this, the shortest Durood, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and we will get this reward, and we need so much of our needs to be fulfilled by Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So we can see from this hadith that 70 of the Akhirah will be fulfilled, and 30 of our needs in this world, Allah will accept it and will fulfill our needs in this world. And obviously these needs of ours needs to be permissible needs and permissible things that we require from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And then what else do we do on the night of Jumu'ah, that is Thursday night? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to recite Surah Dukhan, right, in the 25th Juz. And with regards to this, there is great reward where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had mentioned with regards to reciting Surah Dukhan, that is after the Thursday night after the Maghrib or Isha Salah, or even during the course of the day, that is the day of Jumu'ah on Friday, the reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put with regards to those who recite the Surah Dukhan in the 25th Juz on the day of Jumu'ah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, whoever recites Surah Dukhan on the night of Jumu'ah, Thursday night, then his sins will be forgiven. So here, with regards to the sins, it's all the minor sins that we have committed. We read this, that will be a means of our minor sins being forgiven. And with regards to our major sins, we need to make sincere tawbah to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, so that Allah will forgive our sins. And when we have committed, we are human, we will commit sins. But we need to refrain from minor sins, because if you continuously perform minor sins, then we don't take care of the minor sins, then we go to the major sins. So if we stop the minor sins completely, then there's no chance of us involving ourselves in any type of major sin. And if we involved in any major sin, then we seek the repentance of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala sincerely. And after sincerely repenting for the major sins that we have committed, and we don't commit that major sin in our life again, that is a sign of acceptance of our tawbah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we go on to the day of Jumu'ah. At the time of Fajr Salah, the Imam, or whoever is going to perform the Fajr Salah, which was the Sunnah of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is mentioned that the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to recite in the Fajr Salah on the day of Jumu'ah, Tanzeel As-Sajda, Surah Sajda, and Hal Ata Alal Insan in Surah Dahar. This hadith is mentioned in Abu Dawud. So the Imam will read this, which is Sunnah, and on some occasions he will leave it out so that the people do not take it that this is a fard action, but rather a Sunnah, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam would recite these two surahs on the day of Jumu'ah. Then with regards to the masjid, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam had mentioned, use incense in your masajid on the day of Jumu'ah. This hadith is mentioned in Ibn Majah. A nice oud smell or bakhur's fragrance that we put in the masjid so that when the people come, they know now today is the day of Jumu'ah, because we're following and implementing that practice of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where it said we need to use incense on the day of Jumu'ah. Another hadith with regards to Suratul Kahf, and many hadith with regards to it, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned, if anyone recites Surah Kahf on Friday, a light will shine brightly for him till the next Friday. So we have that special nur and light that Allah will grant us from this Friday to the next Friday. And we need to show the importance on the day of Jumu'ah by reciting the complete Suratul Kahf. So we get the complete reward that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has got in store for us, that special light, that special protection from one Friday to the other Friday. Another hadith with regards to reciting Suratul Kahf will be saved from the mischief of Masih ad-Dajjal. Because we know he's got a lot of things up his sleeve, and if our iman is not strong and not intact, then we will be carried away and we will do whatever he tells us to do, and we'll accept whatever he tells us. And we will take it that this person is on the right path and is doing the correct things. So by reciting Suratul Kahf every Friday, the complete Suratul Kahf, we will get that special protection from Masih ad-Dajjal, we'll be safe from him, and we'll have that special nur that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will grant us from one Friday to the other Friday. Then we go on to the next aspect with regards to sending durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned in the hadith, Man salla alayya wahidatan sallallahu bihi ashra. That person who sends one durood to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gets the reward of 10. Subhanallah. So little sacrifice, so little of doing these kind of good actions, and look at the rewards that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has kept in store for us. Great amount of reward. And when we send durood to Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we show our love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And also, when we send the durood in the congregation like this, when the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mentioned, on the first occasion, it is wajib and compulsory for us to send durood and salutations upon Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And however many times the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mentioned, we send durood to show our love for Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when a person sends durood and salutation to Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a special angel is deputed to take that durood to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is alive in his grave, and he says, this person was his father's name. So the person who recites the durood, his name is mentioned, as well as the father of that person's name has been mentioned to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So let us not fall short on the day of Jumu'ah. We need to beautify our Jumu'ah by sending abundance of salutations to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned in another hadith, Sayyidina Anas radiallahu anhu narrates, that he who reads a single durood upon me, Allah Ta'ala blesses him 10 times, 10 of his sins are forgiven, and he is increased 10 times in stages. Another hadith with regards to durood, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam He said, recite durood upon me in an abundance on the day of Jumu'ah, since they are presented to me. Like we had mentioned, that angel is deputed and he comes to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam and he mentions that this person had sent salutations in durood upon you. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu reported that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said, may humiliation be the lot of any man who, when I mention in his presence, does not pray for blessing upon me. That when the name of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is mentioned, we don't send durood, then we got humiliation. This is not my words, this is the words of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Thereafter, another hadith with regards to durood. Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu reports that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, do not make my grave a place of celebration. Pray over me, your prayer reaches me wherever you are. So when we go and Allah grants us and keeps on granting us the opportunity to go to the Haramain Sharifain for Umrah, and those that have not gone for Umrah or Hajj, may Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala make it easy and make it happen as soon as possible that they go and visit the Haramain, that is Makkah Mukarrama and Medina Munawwara. So when we come to the grave of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we do not celebrate. We send durood and salutations upon Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if we are here, our durood will be conveyed to Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wherever we might be. But when we are there, we try to go close by, right near the vicinity of Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his grave in Medina. And we send abundance of durood to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, showing the love that we have for Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyiduna Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, the next hadith, Sayyiduna Ali radiallahu anhu reported that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, a miser is someone who, when I mentioned in his presence, does not pray for blessing upon me. So that is a miser. A person does not send durood and salutations upon Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What does it cost to just say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? It does not cost us anything. So we show our love, and we should not be a miser that we do not send durood upon Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when his name is mentioned. So let us make it a habit. On the day of Jumu'ah, we send abundance, especially this one hadith mentioned, that if a person sends 1,000 durood, whichever durood he knows, and the one that we would mention, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, you say this durood, as well as other one, Allahumma salli ala Muhammadi wa alihi alfa marra, then 1,000 times on the day of Jumu'ah is not difficult. We don't have to do it in one sitting. Wherever we are, we're lying down, we are in the business, we're at our works, workplaces, while we are doing our work, we can send durood upon Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what is the reward of it? That every person, or any person that sends 1,000 durood to Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of Jumu'ah, what is the reward? That before he passes away, Allah will show him his Jannah in a dream. So when you dream or and see your Jannah, then you know now your time is up and you will be entered into Jannah. So that is the benefit of reciting 1,000 of durood on the day of Jumu'ah. And on other days of the week, it might be a bit difficult to read 1,000 every other day. But let us send durood to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whatever we can manage, whether it's 50, whether it's 100, whether even if it's a 10 or 20. We need to make this part of our life and in our habit, so that we have that link with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then the hadith with regards to when we coming to the masjid on the day of Jumu'ah, what is the reward? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, by walking for the Jumu'ah Salah, one gets the reward for 1 year for every step that he takes. This hadith is mentioned in Tirmidhi Sharif. So those that are close to the masjid, and it's easy for us to walk, we try and walk so that we can get for every step, we'll get 1 year of fasting. Subhanallah. Again, look there, just to walk to the masjid, 1 year of fasting for every step that we take. And for those that are far away, we cannot walk, so when we come here, we park our cars there, outside in the parking or further away from the masjid. As we're coming every step towards the masjid, we will also be getting that same reward of 1 year of fasting for every step that we take. So those that are close by to the masjid, take a walk and you will reap the rewards of coming to the masjid, walking and getting that reward that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned. When we come to the masjid on the day of Jumu'ah or any other day of the week, we need to make sure that we come correctly attired to the masjid. Again, the sanctity of the masjid, we need to understand what is how we should respect and honor the masjid. So when we come to the masjid, we dress in a correct manner. You know, normally we always buy new clothing when somebody gets married or on the day of Eid. Now here what Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had mentioned, Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu reports that Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whenever Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had new clothes, he wore it on a Friday. So if we got new clothes, we wear it on the Friday, and we're following that sunnah of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now when we're in the masjid, to listen to the talk attentively, we will get understanding with regard to different aspects, whatever the speaker had mentioned to us. We should sit, like we had mentioned previously, let us sit in the masjid when we're listening to talks with an open mind, not to criticize the speaker. We listen to put into practice. And thereafter, when the time is given for the sunnah, we should perform the sunnah. The four sunnah that is given, 5 minutes or so, we perform our sunnah. Thereafter, when the khutbah is being delivered, it's very sad, unfortunately, these days, we find while the khutbah is being delivered, there are people at the back, whether it's young, the old, they are all talking, they're not listening attentively to the khutbah. So Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrated that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said, if you say to your companion, listen attentively on a Friday when the Imam is delivering the khutbah, then you have engaged in idle speech. This hadith is mentioned in Bukhari and Muslim. So even by telling a person, you know, giving him a sign to be quiet, we have wronged, we have involved yourself in something which is totally not acceptable. Imagine when the khutbah is being delivered. A person cannot send durood upon Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Obviously, if the name is mentioned, then in our hearts, we send durood. We cannot even recite Quran. We cannot even read salah at that time. So imagine if we cannot do a good action, then how severe it is if we involve ourselves in an evil and a bad action. So be quiet. Nobody has to be told about it. We've been telling many a times, many ulama has mentioned to us that we should be quiet when the khutbah is being delivered. Whether we understand or we don't understand, we listen attentively and don't make a noise and don't tell anybody also to keep quiet. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had mentioned also with regards to the khutbah. On Friday, the angels stand at the door of the masjid and note down in order of arrival the names of those who come early. When the imam proceeds toward the pulpit, it is the mimbar, the angels roll up their scrolls and listen to the khutbah. So even the angel listen to the khutbah, so we human beings, definitely we need to be listening. And then our names are not even written if we come late for the day of Jummah. We know exactly how the whole process and the procedure of Jummah is. The adhan is given, then the talk, there we get sunnah. Then we know exactly at 5 to 1, 1 o'clock, the imam will start the salah. So we come only on that time. Remember, the talk is beneficial for us because we don't understand Arabic. Many of the khutbahs, the ayat, The hadith of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is mentioned in the hadith. So if you heard the talk and you listen attentively, so when you hear the khutbah, it will link up and you will understand what has been mentioned in the khutbah. And with regards to the sunnah thereafter, after the two farad, the dua has been made. Some people leave before the dua and they go out. I don't know for whatever reason, because we see many of them standing there outside and mulling around and talking and making a big noise, also disturbing the people who are performing the sunnah. How many rakats should be performed after the fard salah? It is mentioned that 6 rakats are sunnah after the Jummah salah, of which 4 are sunnah muakkada. That is emphasized sunnah. We should not leave the sunnah out. And 2 are sunnah ghair muakkada. We say in our time we need the reward, so we continuously read the sunnah so we can get the reward. But sometimes maybe we got to run some errands, we need to go back to work, whatever it might be. Then we can leave out that 2 sunnah. But read that 4 sunnah. And also another sunnah is, if we don't read our sunnah here, we go home and read the sunnah. That was also the practice of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is really said that these days a large percentage of the Muslim ummah leave the masjid without performing any sunnah salah. When we're given time, we're not reading the sunnah. When we leave the masjid, we run out. We just run out. We find the elders are walking out and running out. The youngsters are following suit. So what kind of an example are we for the young children? What example are we for our children? Because the son will say, my father is not reading the sunnah. That uncle is not reading the sunnah. So why should I read the sunnah? You read the sunnah, and whoever does not read it, you leave them out. You give them encouragement and motivation with regards to the sunnah to follow the practice of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Remember, not performing the sunnah salah is a source of deprivation and a display of disregard to the great virtue of the sunnah salah. Then we will conclude on this part here. With regards to dua being accepted on the day of Jummah, there's different times when a person's dua is accepted on the day of Jummah. But we don't know. But ulama has mentioned that between the two khutbas, when the imam sits and pause for a few seconds, we make dua. Not moving our lips, but in our hearts. Whatever we require, Allah will grant it to us. And the time between Maghrib, Asr and Maghrib, that is also a blessed time where our duas will be accepted by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And also another sunnah of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sa'd bin Sa'd radiallahu anhu, reports that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum used to eat after the Jummah Salah and to have an afternoon nap. So if we can manage to do the sunnah, some of us have to go back and early and go to work and whatever else, so we cannot practice on the sunnah. But on other occasions, when it's holiday or we don't have to go to work, then we practice upon the sunnah to eat after the Jummah Salah, because the Sahaba radiallahu anhum would do it. And also one important part with regards to the durood. After the Asr Salah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned, whoever recites the above durood 80 times after the Asr Salah on a Friday, his sins of 80 years will be forgiven. Subhanallah. So while you're waiting after the Asr Salah, dua has been made. For a few minutes, you read the durood, and there's two durood with regards to this. One is Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin nabil ummi wa ala alihi wa sallim taslima. And the other one is Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin abdika wa rasulik wa rasulika nabiy al ummi. So if you read this durood, 80 years of our sins will be forgiven. We make dua to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that He grants us the true understanding of what has been said, to practice righteous deeds and to abstain from evil. And may Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala make us honor the day of Jumu'ah, like how what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned in the ahadith. Ameen. Wa ma alayna illa al-balagh. Wa sallallahu sallam wa baraka ala Muhammad. Subhanallah wa bihamdi. Subhanakallahu wa bihamdi. Tashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.